Welcome to another Project Re3 Sermon Podcast. It's our prayer that God would use us to restore, rebuild, and renovate communities, and it's our hope that He'll use this sermon to do the same in your life as well. If you want to learn more about Project Re3 Church or the Project Re3 Hope Center, you can do so at projectre3.org.
Buddy, that's nice. If I was to say, you know, what's the first part of John 3:16? We would all probably be able to recite it, most of us. For God so loved the world. Now we're going to stop right there, because if we said that, there's nothing within us that thinks that God doesn't love the world, right? Like we say that, it just kind of rolls off our tongues. For God so loved the world. Of course He loves the world. But what if it was, for God so loved Mike Giannopoulos? I didn't know it wasn't a joke, but hey. Somebody thought it was, yeah, I laughed too, right? Because it's like, you know, we have those moments where we believe, it's easier for us to believe that God can love the world than love God can love us. Because we know us, right? We know the things that go on in our head, the things we've said, the things we've done. We know all of those things. And so human nature says, because I know all the things about me, I don't really know if God can love me. We might even get as far as saying, I think He loves me. But that's as far as we'll go sometimes. That assurance of, man, you know what? I know He really loves me is harder to get to. It's because we as humans live in conditional love. A lot of our love is based on who has done something to us, what we can get out of this relationship. And it doesn't mean that we're anything, you know, malicious about it or nefarious. So what it means is that's just the way we're wired. If somebody hurts us, we don't want anything to do with them again, right? If someone's loving to us and kind to us and pours over us, do we not want to be around those people even more? Of course. That is conditional love. So we view God often through the lens of that earthly conditional love. Something bad happens to us. God, why'd you let this happen? You must not love me. We do something bad. God, I know what I just did, and if someone did that to me, I don't think I could love them, so I don't see how you can love me. But see, I think there's a core question in every single one of us as humans. Every single one of us are born with the question of, does God love me? I believe He loves the world, but does God really love me? I mean, I've counseled Christians that have been Christians 30 and 40 years that still struggle with that question. Mike, I wake up sometimes and I just don't know how God can love me. Does He really love me? And when we struggle with that question is, does God really love me? It's because we're thinking of the wrong kind of love. And there's two types of loves that I want to talk about this morning, just for the sake of this message. And the first type of love is this. It's a love that loves because the object is valuable, right? It's a love that loves because the object is valuable. And this is pretty easy to explain. You think about things that you own of value. Talking like monetary, earthly, worldly values. Maybe it's shoes or a purse or a boat or a car. You know, it could be any of those things. Josh and I just watched a video this week, and it went through all the various most expensives, right? It talked about like, this is the most expensive baseball card, you know, and the most valuable. You know, this is the most valuable pair of shoes. This is the most valuable movie memorabilia out there. You know, we went through all of these things that explained the history and the story behind it all. But we apply that value because we think monetarily there's something to that. But what happens when we don't apply that kind of value to it? Is it still worth the same? I love the TV show Antique Roadshow. And I'll turn it, if I see it, I'll flip it on. I just, there's something fascinating about it, I just find. And usually, through the course of a show, you're going to see a couple of different things play out. Two of the things that may play out is you're going to have that person that's going to show up with this vase that their great-great-grandma had, right? And it's been passed down from generation to generation. And it isn't because it has any kind of sentimental value. It's because whoever gave it to whoever said, don't ever lose this vase. It's worth a lot of money, right? And so it's had this place of prominence in their house from generation to generation. And now the antique roadshow crew is there, and they show up. And if you don't know the show, you know, they have all these like expert antique people, and you can show up with your junk and they'll tell you if it's worth anything. And so somebody will show up with their great, great, great grandma's vase and show it to them. And whoever it is always very gracious. And they go through and they talk about how beautiful it is, and they look at it, da, 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 da. And then at the end, they're like, you know what? It's worth $450. And they're like, $450,000? They're like, no, $4.50. This is not worth anything. And all of a sudden, you just see it on their face. All of a sudden, grandma's great-great-grandma's vase means nothing to them anymore, right? Because there's no earthly value to it. And then there's always the guy that walks in. He's like, yeah, I drug this out of my garage this morning. I bought it at a yard sale 20 years ago, this piece of art. What do you think? Oh, my gosh, it's a one of a kind, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's worth $10,000. And all of a sudden, the guy's like, what, you know? And it's going from his garage to now it's hanging over his bed, right? I mean, that's it. Because if something has value, we love it. And I think that's the problem with us when it comes to understanding, does God love us? Because we don't feel like we're very valuable. We don't feel like we're very valuable. And because we don't feel like we're very valuable, why would God love us? If we only love things of value, how can God love something that we look at ourselves and say we have no value? I'm not as smart as them. I'm not as good looking as them. I'm not as spiritual as them. I'm not as successful as them. Why would God have any value in me? So that's the first type of love. A love that loves because the object is valuable. But the second kind of love is this. It's a love that loves and gives value to the object. It's because you love this object so much, you have now given it value. I mean, think about it. Growing up, did you ever have that stuffed animal? That doll, that blankie, you know? The thing that you just had to have, that was your comfort. You know, that's what you wanted. To you, it was the most valuable thing in the world. To everybody else, it was nothing. It was a doll that was falling apart. It was a blanket with holes all in it. Like, let's just toss it. Like, it has no value to anybody else in this world but you. To you, it's everything. Maria, when she was, about to be born, we had, you know, baby showers and stuff. And, you know, and people would give us things. And a lot of times they give you, you know, things that you could use, say bottles or clothes or diapers. And sometimes they'd throw in a stuffed animal here or there, you know, just something kind of cute. And so Maria's born and she's going through the first year of life, you know, and we're putting little things in her crib that, you know, she might be attracted to and whatnot. But as soon as Maria could get up and start crawling around and start recognizing things, she gravitated to this one stuffed animal. It was this white and green rabbit. We don't even know who gave it to us. We don't know really where it came from, how it came into our possession, but that is what Maria wanted. And now, to us, Beth and I would look at this rabbit and be like, this is just some generic stuffed animal. Don't you want this stuffed animal? This is, you know, and we try to like pawn off one that we knew was a little bit more expensive or made a little better, or maybe it came from someone that we cared about. You know, don't you want this one? No, no. Maria had to have that green and white rabbit. And eventually as she started to talk, she affectionately named this green and white rabbit Green Baby. So in her life, everything was always Green Baby. Where's Green Baby? Where's Green Baby? Where's Green Baby? And if you saw Maria growing up as a 2 and a 3 and a 4 year old, she would have Green Baby under one arm and her thumb in her mouth in the other. That was her. She would just walk around like she always had to have Green Baby. And this thing, it got ragged. I mean, I'm talking, it had every baby bodily fluid you could have is on this thing at some point. We're washing it, you know, inside the stuffing is starting to get all matted up. It's getting holes in it. And occasionally we would take it over to Grandma's ER, right? We go to Mama's house and my mom would carefully unstitch it and pull out the old stuffing and put in some new stuffing and just kind of revitalize Green Baby a little bit. Sometimes some of the ears would literally, the fabric was just so thin, she would sew new pieces of fabric on. I mean, this was an important part of my daughter's life growing up. And then When she was about 4 or 5, we took a family vacation somewhere, and you got 2 kids at that point. You know, you got stuff all over the hotel room, right? And so we're trying to gather up everything we can gather. We get in the car and start heading home, and we get about an hour down the road, and all of a sudden Maria's like, "Where's Green Baby?" And we're like, "What?" You know, it was like, we're like swerving off the road. You would have, you know, like we left Grandma behind. And so we're like, "Where is Green Baby? She has to be here." And Beth's like, "I thought you got him." And I was like, "I thought you got her." And so we're screaming, "We don't have him." We call the hotel. Luckily, the housekeeping hadn't been up there yet. Housekeeping got up, went up for us, checked. We have Green Baby. All right. Turned around, went back. Got Green Baby. Crisis averted, right? That was good. Well, I came home and I'm like, this is not going to happen because she's only 5. She's already losing this thing. Like, I can't go through this again. That was the most stressful thing in my life. I'm going to find another Green Baby. And so I searched and I researched and I searched and I searched and I finally found this Green Baby on the internet. And it was some generic stuffed animal that came from Target, right? And so then I knew who made it. I knew where it came from. And then I started just searching eBay. And I would look on eBay every couple of days for this green rabbit, right? This green, and it took months. Months. But I found it. Green Baby. Oh, I know, right? Like, why wouldn't a little girl like this? She loved Green Baby. I could not wait as her father to go show her this brand new Green Baby. So I show up, and it came in the mail, and it was it's identical. It might be the only 2 in existence, right? And so I was like, "Maria, we got a big surprise for you. A new Green Baby." Nope. I was like, "Maria, look how clean she is. She's all stuffy, like she's perfect." No, she's not my Green Baby. So this Green Baby has sat in my closet for the last 13 years. True story. But to Maria, Green Baby was the most valuable thing on earth. As a lot of you know, she's down at Disney right now. She's in the Disney College program. And if you showed up in her apartment, went in her bedroom, laying on her bed, is Green Baby to this day. To her, it's the most valuable thing in the world because she is the one that gave value to Green Baby. It wasn't up to me. It wasn't up to Beth. It wasn't up to her friends. It wasn't up to anybody else to tell her what was valuable. She decided, this is valuable to me. So who are we to ever tell God that we're not valuable? Because he is the one that gives value. Not us. Not our spouses, not our ex-spouses, not our kids, not our parents, not our coaches, our teachers, or anybody else in our life. The only person that can give us value is God. And God has already given us the greatest value in the world. For I so loved Mike Giannopoulos that I gave my only son. Even when I don't feel like I'm valuable, God says I am. We are all God's ragdolls. We're all flawed. We're all wounded. We're all broken. We can't hide anything from him. He knows exactly what's going on. We're full of scars. We're full of stuff inside of us that we don't want anybody else to know about. But that's the kind of ragdoll that God loves. The kind of love that doesn't look for what's the kind of love that doesn't look for what's worthy in an object, but the kind of love that makes that object worthy. And if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, I want you to remember this. This is what I want you to say. If you're taking notes, write this down. Maybe I'll put it out on social media later or something, but I want you guys to hear this. God doesn't love you because you're worthy. God's love makes you worthy. God doesn't love you because you're perfect. God doesn't love you because you've lived this exemplary life where you've had the least amount of sin of anybody, or you're the best wife or a mother or husband or father or son or daughter or grandparent. God doesn't love you because of any of that. It is God's love that makes you worthy. It is God's love that makes you valuable. Just like Maria gave value to her green baby, God gives value to us because he is love and he loves us. We read there in 1 John, and it's real short. I'm going to read it again. We'll just pick up in verse 8, chapter 4. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son to the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. Tim brought up last week, you know, to understand the magnitude of this verse and this letter that is being written, you have to understand the author. John and his brother James were known as sons of thunder. Tim talked about that last week. Two brothers that, I mean, they were just meatheads, right? When you read about them in the Bible, they were aggressive. They were abrasive. I mean, these are two guys that went into a Samaritan village and tried to share Jesus, and they rejected him. So they went back and said, hey, Jesus, can you fire, you know, like fireballs from heaven down on this village? They didn't accept us. I mean, it was that type of aggression. But something happened throughout the scriptures where there was this transition in John's life, where he no longer went from this son of thunder, this son of aggression. Instead, when you read it, he's known as the one that Jesus loved. The one that Jesus loved. He wrote that. He understood. And all of my shortcomings and all of my failures and all of my flaws and all of the junk that I have on, as hot-headed as I was, the things that I said to people, all the things I did, he still loved me. I am the one that Jesus loved. That's where we need to get to in life. That we look at ourselves with the value that God looks at us at. That we raise ourselves above whatever unworthiness we feel like we're in, to understand that we are worthy because the Most High God calls us valuable. That we can look in the mirror and we can say, I am the one that Jesus loves. Matter of fact, let's say that on three. Let's just say that. Let's say, I am the one that Jesus loves. One, two, three. I am the one that Jesus loves. We can do better than that. Again, I am the one that Jesus loves. And one more time, like we really mean it. I am the one that Jesus loves. And maybe that's something you need to do every morning or every evening before you go to bed, to be able to look in the mirror as you're beating yourself up for your life and your mistakes and your sins, or I should have done this, I should have done that, or the enemy is all over you. With everything that he wants to attack you with, you can look in the mirror and say, despite all of that, I am worthy because I am the one that Jesus loves. Me. And if I was the only person here on this planet, he would have still given his son for me. Because I am the one that Jesus loves. Because God gives value to what the world says has no value. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are the one that Jesus loves. There is absolutely nothing that can ever happen in your life or this world that can ever stop God from loving you. We have the choice to accept that love, though. We can say, I do. We can say, I'm yours. But it's not God whoever has a choice. Because he is love. It is who he is. He can't help but love us because that's all he wants. You are the one that Jesus loves. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for loving us. Despite our sin, despite our failures, despite our many ways that, man, we just screw up, you love us through it. For the times in our lives when we feel like the least valuable thing on this planet, you give us worth. You give us value. Because only you can give value to us. Our value is not found in what we've accomplished. Our value is not found in how much Bible study we've been to, how many churches we belong to, how long we've been a believer. Our value is not found in our bank account. Our value is not found in how successful we are as parents or children or sons or daughters. And our value is found in you and you alone. You give love to us who feel so unworthy and so unvaluable. Thank you. Thank you for giving us value. Thank you for loving us when sometimes we can't even love ourselves. Lord, my prayer this morning is that we hear those words, I'm yours. And God, through the pain, through the embarrassment, through the regret, through the lies of the enemy, we can look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I am the one that Jesus loves. And I am yours. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.